remain standing, if you will, turn in your Bible to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. I love that song. I've got a mansion. Amen. It wouldn't have to be. If he just gave us a cabin in the corner of Glory Land, would be all right, wouldn't it, just to be there? But I'm glad what God does, he does magnifically. Amen. Amen. It makes it the house magnifical. Amen. And I thank him for that, that he's prepared a special place for us by his grace. Amen. Amen. All right. I was in Galatians chapter 6 on Wednesday night and back there again tonight or today for the message. And I hope that what we'll look at will be a blessing to you. I want to start with verse 7. Very, very familiar. I was in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 on Wednesday night. Not any kind of a verse-by-verse study or anything. Just happened to be that I'm back here in this same chapter today. Verse 7 is familiar. We'll read down through verse number 10 and read it responsibly if you found your place. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Amen. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." We'll stop there with verse 10. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to add the blessing to the reading of his word. Brother Herford, do you feel like leading us in prayer? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. 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 Yes, help, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Appreciate that prayer, Brother Herford. Amen. Once you look at verse number 9, there's a phrase there that I want to point out and make a clarification. He says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." Now, here's what I want you to notice. "For in due season," that's not dough season. All right? I know we're in that season. "In due season we shall reap if we faint." I want to preach from verse number 9 and 10 primarily. I read 7 and 8 because it's so familiar. But 7 and 8 lay out the principle of sowing and reaping. And we understand that principle, I believe. I know we're living in a different day than the day I grew up in. I said, I think I'm still a young man, but I grew up on a farm. You knew what it meant to plant things and grow it rather than just run out to Kroger. Right. We had our own garden. We had our own hog. We had our own milk cow. Not that I had to do all of that, but we had, you know, things like that. And I understand that. And some of this generation thinks milk comes in a jug, already pasteurized and homogenized and all that stuff. But in reality, there's work goes into getting something. Checks don't just show up in the mail. At least they're not supposed to. There's work involved. That's the point that I'm looking at. And here's my message, my title: warning
about weariness in well-doing. Warning about weariness in well-doing. In other words, there's work involved in anything that is worth doing. There's elbow grease, as they say. There's work, there's labor, there is input in order to get any output, right? In order to get income, you got to outlay some work and some labor. Amen. There's got to be something that is done in that. Well, these verses that I read to you are very familiar, I know, about this principle of sowing and reaping. These verses do not add to the law, but they're supplemented to warn us not to get weary in the sowing time. In other words, every day is not a reaping day. Every day is a sowing day. Amen. I heard a preacher preach years ago I won't tell you the title of his message or how he used it, but he was preaching about Joshua and them marching around Jericho. And he said, everybody wants to see the walls fall down. But they had to march the first day with no noise and no walls falling. They had to go back the second day with no noise and no walls falling. Had to go back a third day and a fourth day and a fifth day and a sixth day. And on the seventh day, they had to walk seven times before the walls came down. And his point was this. A lot of times there's a lot of labor goes in before you ever see any reaping. A lot of sowing before you ever see any reaping. And that really is the concept that I want to deal with today on this and say he is warning us. Paul, I believe under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, felt led of God to warn us about the tendency that we have, the human tendency to grow weary in well-doing. Amen. And we have that tendency, especially when we don't see immediate success. Again, I said that about, and I said it in a joking way, that some kids think taters grow in a bag. Or they come out of the ground with like French fries, you know. It's not that way. But here's another aspect of our modern society is that we think that you can speak into the speaker and then just drive around and get whatever you want. That's how life ought to be. You just say, I want it, and turn around, you got it. That's not how life is. That's not how life is. There's going to have to be labor, and especially spiritual things, there needs to be some labor involved before we can reap. Amen. And so I'll just say this by way of introduction, that in the Christian life, there are times of rejoicing in the reaping of spiritual blessings. Amen. 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 We sing just like we sang there, I never shall forget the day. That was the day I reaped great spiritual blessings, the day God saved my soul. Amen. 50 years ago, June the 29th, 1974. Amen. I reaped a real blessing that day, but there's been sowing days after that. But I can still go back and reap and rejoice in that reaping day. But I also know there's a reaping day coming down the road. I can rejoice when somebody calls me and tells me that they've just called on the Lord and gotten saved by the grace of God. Or you see somebody step out of the pew, walk down the aisle, and call on the Lord. However the case is, there's days that we rejoice in that reaping, but there's a lot of sowing days when there's no rejoicing. Amen. But there's not only those happy days of reaping, there's also discouraging days when you've poured a lot into it and it just don't seem like you get much out. Amen. When you have invested and you don't seem to see any product of your investment strategy there. Amen. So some days we have to wait. There's a long waiting period sometimes before the harvest can be reaped. I want to make two primary points. There's two main points that I want to deal with today in my message. I'll deal longer with the first one because I've got subpoints under that. But first of all, I'll throw you out both of them. First of all, you write this down. The weariness which is to be prohibited. The weariness which is to be prohibited. And then secondly, the well-doing which is prescribed. The well-doing which is prescribed. So first of all, there's the weariness which is to be prohibited. Verse number 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The Apostle Paul had served Christ now, by the time this epistle is written, he served Christ for many years. Amen. He has already witnessed disciples of the Lord that chose to turn their back on the truth. He said in 2 Timothy, you know, chapter 4, he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Paul knew what it was like for people to start with him and not finish. Young John Mark did that early on in his ministry. The very first trip that Paul and Barnabas made, John Mark maybe got scared, got homesick, got sick. Who knows what happened? But he went back. But thank God John Mark turned out to be profitable. As far as we know, Demas never did come back. But the point is that Paul had seen the sowing and he'd seen the discouragement of not seeing results like maybe they'd want to see. Now, here's our problem. We read, for example, we read the book of Acts, and we see where Paul had these great things happen. We wish that we could just get up like Peter on the day of Pentecost and thousands get saved all at one time. Or that we could be like Paul. We could go into Thessalonica and a church spring up almost out of nothing. Or that we could go to Philippi and even being thrown in prison, that God would shake the prison bars and God would shake the prison keeper and God would save his soul and a church be born, a great church there at Philippi. We think, oh, those are wonderful times. But we forget Paul experienced some disappointments too. He experienced some hardships and some failures. Amen. Paul is not just warning us about this from personal experience. He's warning us from inspiration of the Holy Ghost. We got to be reminded. We got to be reminded that things don't just happen overnight. Amen. It is possible to become hesitant about doing what we know we ought to do. To become hesitant to undertake any new responsibilities or any new actions in being a follower of Christ. It is possible that we can become languid in our performance of serving Him. In other words, Bible reading can get stale. Prayer can seem dull. Church can seem dead. Right? We can grow weary in well-doing. Amen. I wrote it this way because I think this is right. When we allow our mind to be infected with evil thoughts, doubts, or suspicions, then we can very easily be weary in well-doing. We fall prey to the enemy of our soul. Amen. For example, we may begin to make excuses why we can't witness for the Lord Jesus. Well, they wouldn't want to hear it anyway. That's an excuse that's given, but I don't think it's a valid excuse. Amen. Did you ever have anybody tell you about Jesus and being honest, you didn't want to hear it at the time? Right? But thank God there came a day you did want to hear it. And the day you was glad to hear it. Amen. And my point is we got to keep telling it whether they want to hear it or not. Amen. Our goal is not just to go to them, not just to feed them that are hungry, but our goal is to go to all them with need. Amen. And many of them's got a need. They don't even realize that they got a need. Amen. Amen. So the point here is that we start making excuses when we allow ourselves to think wrongfully. Amen. And so we need to rebuke the devil when he starts putting those thoughts in our mind. Amen. We need to remind ourselves of the blessings of God. God has saved me and God has given me a job to do. I want to do it for the glory of God. Amen. No matter what others do or what others say, how they act. Amen. There are times, I sort of got on this a little bit last Sunday, but there are times when a teacher stands up here and looks at y'all's faces and thinks, what is the use? Amen. Amen. There's times when the preacher, you know, and today could be one of the, I don't feel this way, but it could be. I could start noticing that people start. And they smile when they smell. They don't smile when they hear. We can get our thoughts and our minds on things that are really, I mean, thank God for a fellowship meal, and that is an important part of service, but it's not more important than this. It's not nearly as important as this. Amen. If I don't know what all they got back there cooking, but if everything burns to a crisp and we meet with God in here, we'll say hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Amen. They steal McDonald's down the road or somewhere. I'm not advertising for them, but somebody. Amen. Anyway, so my point is this. We make these excuses nobody wants to hear. So the Holy Ghost warns us to not be weary in well-doing. Matter of fact, he don't only warn us, he promises we shall reap. And then he puts a little prescription on that. If we faint not. Amen. We've all seen it, may have had it happen in our life. I remember it happening in mine as a child. You plant green beans. Green beans are something that come up quickly, but not quick enough for a kid. They plant them today and they think they ought to be up tomorrow. And have you ever scratched in the soil to see if the seeds are all gone? And you know what you did? You just uprooted the thing that was fixing to come forth. Why? Because of impatience. Fainting. Amen. Not letting time have its work and God to work that thing out. So he gives us that statement in there. So I've got three subpoints under this, the weariness to be prohibited. First of all, there's the problem is that weary in well-doing, that phrase. Let us not be weary in well-doing. When thoughts enter our mind like this, why should I bother reading my Bible today? I'm just going to forget it anyway. When you think things like that, you're defeating yourself. That is Satan trying to get you to be weary in well-doing. Amen. When you say things like, well, it really doesn't matter if I'm faithful to church or not. That is Satan trying to tempt you to be weary in well-doing. You say, well, nobody will miss me. Even if nobody did, and they will, by the way, they'll miss you more than you think they will. But even if nobody did miss you, there's a Heavenly Father that's keeping a record. And He would miss you. Amen. So, when we get doubtful about the things of God, when we get doubtful about those things, it causes a delinquency in our labor of doing those things. There is a deficiency in our faith. Our faith grows weak. Amen. Or we might say our faith grows dim. Amen. Do you know, when you love Jesus like you're supposed to love Jesus, His commandments are not grievous unto us. But when you get a little doubtful about whether He's going to keep all of His promises, when you get a little bit lax in your labor, then all of a sudden every commandment is a grief. You mean church again? You mean I need to read another chapter? You mean... Yeah, we'll come up with all these, and that's the devil tempting us to be weary in well-doing. Amen. When we walk by faith, our work is pleasant. Amen. But when we walk by sight, our faith becomes weak and our labor is hard. That's right. By the way, Christians are to be known for well-doing. That's one of the things about Christians. They're supposed to be known. The sinner knows that Christians are not drunks, that they pray. Sinners know that. Now, they may call you a hypocrite, but when they get in trouble, they know you pray. At least they expect you to. Maybe they've never seen it. Maybe they've never heard it, but they know Christians are people of prayer. They know Christians are people of love. They know Christians are people that are concerned about other people rather than just themselves. And so they know Christians are supposed to be doing well, right? Well doing rather than evil doing. Right? Right. But here's the point. If you get lax in well-doing, you'll get lenient towards evil-doing. When you stop well-doing, you'll more than likely start or increase evil-doing. Just how it is. It's the way that it goes. I said something about that before Sunday school this morning. I'm not going to repeat what I said there. But the point is, Satan, if he can tempt us to quit doing good, then he's got us already headed in doing bad. That's right. You know what the Lord wants us to do? He wants us to serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. I preached on Psalm 100. Was that last Sunday? Morning, I think maybe. I preached on Psalm 100. And that serve the Lord. That's what Jesus wants to do. Serve the Lord with gladness. But doubts causes the gladness to flee away. Doubts causes us to wonder if it's even worth serving God. That's what doubts do. Amen. So there's the thing that is to be prohibited there. The problem is that we can get weary in well-doing. So here's another thing. Paul says, the psalmist said, serve the Lord with gladness. No, don't just serve him with rigor, serve him with gladness. But Paul said, God loveth a cheerful giver. Let me ask you, if he wants us to be happy when we're giving, don't you think he wants us to be happy when we're working? Amen. Don't you think he wants us to be happy when we're witnessing? He wants us to be happy when we're praying. He wants us to be happy when we're singing. He wants us to be happy when we're preaching. He wants us to be happy when we're teaching. He wants us to be happy while we're serving him. That's what he wants us to do. Amen. Be happy serving the Lord. Serve him cheerfully. So Satan wants us to be weary with well-doing. Then there's the promise. Second subpoint. There's the promise. The problem, the promise. The promise is we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Verse 7, the last end of that says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's not a question. It's a statement. He's going to reap what he sows. When you sow corn, corn's what you reap. You don't get apples when you plant corn. Right? The point is, whatever you, if you sow bad seed, you're going to get bad things. Right? And when you start thinking bad thoughts, there's bad things going to happen from those bad thoughts. Thoughts are seeds, by the way. But the other side, same. You sow good seed, you're going to reap good harvest. You think good thoughts, you're going to have some better things down the line. That's not just positive thinking, but that is a truth from the Word of God. Sowing and reaping principle. It's in the Bible. Amen. Amen. It's there. So, verse 7, that last phrase, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, that last phrase, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Most of the time, the reason I put it this way, the reason I'm just reading the last part of these, because we think the sowing, we think, oh boy, they're doing bad and God's going to send judgment. I mean, just, they've done bad and God's going to smash them. God's going to smite them because they're doing bad. But it ain't all just bad. He's talking about good too. There's reaping for doing good. If we're not careful, we'll get the mentality that when people sow bad, bad things happen. But when people do good, nothing happens. That's the lie of the devil. The same God that wants to smite the evildoer is a God that smiles and blesses the well-doer. Amen. And he'd be unfaithful if he didn't do that. He's a faithful God. Amen. That's exactly right. There's the promise. We shall reap if we faint not. The Christian shall be rewarded for his well-doing. Amen. Every act of Christian duty, whatever it is, every sacrifice made, every suffering endured, if you do it in obedience to Christ's authority, if you're doing it that way, God's gonna bless you. If you're submitting to his authority, if you're doing it for his honor and for his glory, God is gonna bless you. Matter of fact, he said even if it's just a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple. Amen. Jesus wants us to recognize that. Amen. He wants us to experience life, but not just life. Life more abundantly. Amen. Amen. He wants us to have that right here in this world and in the world to come. I believe that. Amen. I know that some people get this health and wealth crowd. I said crabs because I was thinking of blab it and grab it crowd. They say, you just say it and there you got it. You just claim it and it's yours. Yeah, and I know Joe Osteen, that's one of the things I reckon he teaches of what somebody said. Somebody said, have you ever seen where he got evicted because somebody come by and claimed his house? And they got it right out from under him. No, it don't happen that way. You can't just claim it and get it. Now, there are blessings that we can claim in the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not minimizing that, but I'm saying this. He's not like a genie in a bottle that you just rub it and make your wishes and God's got to do what you ask him to do. God's got principles involved in all this, and there's the principle of sowing and reaping. Amen. The principle is you don't reap if you don't sow. The principle is you don't reap good if you've not sown good. Amen. And so the promise there, though, is that we shall reap if we faint not. We can have abundant life. Amen. Walking with the Lord is a blessing in its own right. Amen. I mean, if just living for Jesus is a blessing, ain't it?
Amen.
Amen. Walking with Jesus is a blessing on its own. Even if there were no future reward, but there is future reward. Amen. But when the battle gets hot and the days seem long, the Christian life can seem like a hardship. That's what Satan wants us to do, is to think about the hardship rather than the promise. Satan tempts us to be weary in well-doing. Amen. Unless we keep our mind on the promise that we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. 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 The fact is that all the blessings of well-doing are not immediate. Somebody said it this way years ago. They said, God don't always pay on Friday, but he always pays. Amen. We don't always get it right when we think we ought to get it. Amen. God don't move on our time. Right. And we don't have the right to demand that he move on our time. Sometimes we get a little bit too big for our britches and we think we can tell God, God, I need it and I mean now. Jump. Who's God? Right. Amen. By the way, you know what? That's like the 2-year-old that they want what they want and they want it now. Hey, some people that have, they're multiples of 2 years old. You know, people say, well, I just celebrated my 20th birthday for the 39th time. Some people celebrate their second birthday, their 2-year-old birthday, for 100 times now. No, maybe not that many, but you know what I'm saying. They've celebrated, that'd be 200, wouldn't it? Amen. Even Brother Ricky ain't that old. Amen. But, but seriously, sometimes we have that mentality, that toddler mentality, that we think God ought to give it to me right now. He don't have to give it to us right now. He promised he'd give it to us, but it's on his time. There's the promise there. Amen. We shall reap if we faint not. Why? What's the problem with fainting? Well, we got weary and well doing. Here's my last point. There's the patience involved. Right there in verse number 9, there's that phrase, in due season. Amen. In due season. We don't get to pick the day or the hour that we get to reap the blessings. We got to wait on God. We got to let God decide the proper time. Hold your place there if you will. Turn back to James chapter number 5. I'll show you some verses. I've got some line up here. I won't necessarily have you turn to all of these, maybe. Maybe not. But James chapter 5, it was good to see it. Verses 7 and 8 of James chapter 5, I believe, is teaching the same thing. And while I'm here, let me just plug this. Martin Luther did not believe that the book of James was inspired of God or even should be in our Bible because he said James so contradicts Galatians. What I'm going to read you in James is exactly what Paul said in Galatians. By the way, they can't contradict. The same God wrote them both. Amen. Amen. I can use a Bic pen or I can use a pen. I don't know. What's another pen maker? Does anybody know? Pilot. All right. I can use a Bic pen or I can use a Pilot pen. And as long as I'm using it, it'll say what I want it to say. God could use James or God could use Paul. They're not contradicting. It's God that wrote it. James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore. What does that mean? Don't be weary in well-doing.
Amen.
Who? Brethren. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. What's he talking about? He's talking about sowing and reaping. He's showing you the farm aspect of that. All right, verse 8. Be ye also patient. In other words, don't be weary in well-doing. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Amen. You know what he's saying? There will be a harvest day. It could be today, but it may not be today. But there will be a harvest day. Amen. God has promised that sowing will produce reaping. But we've got to leave that designated day to God. Let him decide the day. Amen. Our duty is not to set the day. Our duty is to keep sowing. That's right. Keep sowing. It's God's duty to see that we reap. Amen. Amen. Our duty is to not faint when we're supposed to be sowing. Amen. I heard Brother Milby preach a message years ago over there where Jacob sent his sons down into Egypt to get corn. And Joseph and had his servants pack their bags with corn. And Brother Milby took that idea about the corn and he preached on shucking and shelling the corn. And he told a story about, and it fit me because I remember, like I said, growing up and doing all this, that he said that be shelling corn and his thumb get raw. And I've used this illustration before. And he'd say, his thumb got sore. And he'd say, Daddy, I need to quit. He'd lick it and kiss it, make it better. But he didn't want to go back to work. Daddy said, keep shelling, boy. Keep shelling. Because he said, Daddy knew, by the way, that thing will blister after a while. And boy, it will be sore when that blister busts. But if you don't keep, if you will keep up, that will be become a callus. It'll get hard enough. You can shell corn without getting blisters. And without having to kiss it. You can just keep right on shelling corn. But if you don't, you know what'll happen? You'll always have a weakness there. There'll always be a weak spot. Here's what he's saying, I believe in this text, is he's saying to us, it is possible for us to get weary because we're not reaping today when today's not even a reaping today. Today is a sowing day. Amen. Right? God's saying, listen, you're trying to live in a day that's not your day. Are you following me? Amen. A lot of people try to live in tomorrow when they got to live today. Some people living in the past. You can't live in the past. We got to live today. Today may not be a reaping day. It's a sowing day. So we got to just stay with God. Be not weary in well-doing. All right, so our duty is to keep trusting God, to keep believing His promise, and to patiently wait on Him to decide when is the due season. Then we'll reap. Amen. My second point, last point here, main point. There was the weariness which is to be prohibited, and there is the well-doing which is prescribed. Look at verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto a few people. Is that what your King James Bible says? No. Let us do good unto some people. Nope, that's not what it says. Let us do good unto all men. And that men is in italics, meaning it wasn't in the original. Do good unto all. We could leave it there. But the point that he's making there is that we're serving others. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. Amen. Especially unto them who are the household of faith. This is unmistakable language. You can't misread this. You got to understand that our reaping is contingent upon our continuance in well-doing. That if we quit the race, there's no way we can win. That's the point that he's making there. Our reaping is contingent upon our continuance in well-doing. If we faint not, we shall reap. Obviously implies we shall reap not if we faint. Right? If we quit on God, that's the point that he's making. Amen. He's already made that point back in chapter number 5 of Galatians. Look back there. Chapter number 5 and verse number 7. You know, Paul wrote the book of Galatians to straighten them out about their idea of the keeping of the law, adding that to salvation. All right, verse 7, he says, ye did run well. You used to be running good. You used to be in the race. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Now, I could run a lot of rabbits on that. Who did hinder you? There's a lot of people get hung up. They let somebody else hinder them. But I really believe ultimately he said, ain't nobody to blame but yourself. Who are you going to pack this blame on? You're going to have to carry this blame. That's what he's saying. You used to be in the race. What caused you? Who caused you to get out? You did. You did. John's talking about that in 2 John. There's only one chapter, verse number 8. I'll turn over there. You don't have to. I'll turn over there and read that. 2 John, verse number 8. Paul says, look to yourselves. I'm not Paul. John says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Amen. You know what he's talking about? You're going to have to keep doing well if you're going to get the reward you ought to get. Right? You can't quit midstream. You got to keep on rowing. You got to keep on toiling. You got to keep on laboring. Amen. Amen. So the danger is hinted at. The danger is that we might cease from doing well and then lose our reward. The danger is hinted at, but the duty's not hinted. The duty is held forth straightly. The duty is that we should do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. Amen. Amen. Now, here's what I thought about that. We serve Christ by serving others. Amen. We serve Christ by serving others. If your Christian experience just rotates around you, then you're not serving Christ. Right. We're to be a blessing to others. We're to have a benefit to others. I thank God Christ benefits me. Amen. Christ benefits anybody that receives him. Amen. But he didn't save us just to save us. He saved us to be a blessing to somebody else down the road. Amen. That's the point that I'm dealing with in this. So that's the duty that he's given us, is that we serve Christ by serving others, especially by serving other Christians. Amen. We serve Christ by serving others, but especially by serving other believers. That's the point that I got there. Amen. God will see to it that we have opportunities to do good. He said that in that verse. As you have therefore opportunity. Amen. Let me look at that. I might have misquoted. Let me get back there. As we, that's what I thought. I thought I said as ye, but he said as we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men. Amen. So God will see to it that we have the opportunity to do good. It's up to us to seize that opportunity. God will let people cross your path. God will let you encounter people that have needs. Amen. Bear with me one moment, and I'm going to tell you a story. I know I've told this here before, but it is indelibly imprinted in my mind. Many years ago, a couple of decades back at least, there was a family at Sunlight Baptist Church. Brother Don Anderson was a pastor. I was very well familiar with him, preached there every year, went there every year to their camp meeting, from the very first one to the very last one. And there was a family set on this side of the church. That church only had two rows, best I remember. It had a aisle down the middle. On this side of the church, on the second row back, where Brother Philip is sitting right now, Brother Philip Bell, right where he's sitting, there was a family came in from Virginia, moved to North Carolina, moved to the Greensboro area of North Carolina, and they started coming to Sunlight Baptist Church, sat down on that side of the pew. They had just lost a daughter. They had a young little girl that had died of cancer, died apparently a hard death. They sat down on that row. On that end where Matt and Courtney's sitting, they'd been plumb over against the end, was a couple that had the man and woman. She had a couple of daughters that were by her, I don't know if it was by her first husband or if it was out of wedlock, but they weren't his. But they had gotten married. She had, in her youth, she had her tubes tied. She didn't want any more children. They got married and all of a sudden they wanted children. So they went and had surgery and had a lot of treatments so that she could have a child, and she had a child. She was sitting on that row expecting a child when this family moves in here that just had lost a baby. They sit right there. This family sitting over there. That little girl, they had the little girl. She was born. Started growing. Just a little toddler of a little girl. Probably not much bigger than Joseph's little girl, Kate. Maybe not even that big, but she's just a little girl. She's just toddling along and fell over in a bucket of water. and drowned. But God in His mercy let a family be sitting on the same pew that knew what it was like to lose a child. You know what God was doing? God's letting this family get blessed by a family that's already been through that. And God's letting this family have the blessing of helping that family over there. Amen. What are you saying? I'm talking about God uses us to be a blessing to somebody else. Some of the things that happen in our life are not pleasant. Some of those unpleasant things are to help us when we meet other people going through unpleasant things. God gives us this ministry of reconciliation. That's what He calls it in the book of Corinthians. He gives us this ministry of reconciliation. He gives us this ability to speak to somebody, to help somebody. Amen. And you know what He wants us to do? He wants us to use it. God saved you. You don't have to know the Romans road. All you got to know is I came to Jesus. Jesus saved me, and He can do the same for you. That's all you got to know. And you can help somebody that needs to be saved. You say, well, I can't save them. No, and if you memorize the Romans road, you still couldn't save them. If you memorize the quote-unquote sinner's prayer, you couldn't save them. But you can at least talk to them. You can sow some seed. And in the sowing of the seed, you can be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. That famous verse about going to church, I want you to look at it, if you will. Hebrews chapter 10. We always quote verse 25, but verse 24 goes with it. Amen. Even part of the same sentence. God will give us a chance, the opportunity to do good. All right? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another. Can I stop just a minute and say this? I said Christians are supposed to be known for well-doing. Christians are also supposed to be known for not being selfish. We don't believe the whole world circles around us. I wish I could do like Brother Sam. It ain't you. I mean, he illustrated that so wonderfully. The world revolves on its axis, but it ain't you. Amen. Well, let me get back to my verse. We'll just read the verse again. And let us, who's us? The saints. Consider one another. Who's that? That's other saints, especially those of the household of faith. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. And in other words, Christians are supposed to be doers of good. Amen. The New Testament epistles are full of exhortations for us to do good works. Good works don't save. We understand that. We're not doing good works to get saved, but saved people do good works. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. Ephesians 2:10. God made it. When He saved us, He made us in order that we could do good. That's the point. So He reminds us that we're to do good, but He reminds us here that we're not just to do good just to anybody, but especially those of the household of faith. Amen. So here's the way I put it in my notes. You came to church today. That's good. But did you do good for anybody else? You sang praises to the Lord today. That's good. But did you do anything for somebody else? You gave in the offering today. That's good. But did you take the opportunity to do good to somebody else? Amen. Did you even shake their hand? Did you smile at them? Amen. And I could go in a whole lot of things about that. But if we're not careful, we'll come to church and it's all about me. That's a two-year-old mentality. It ain't all about me. We ought to come to honor Him. Amen. Amen. There are people all around you that need a smile, that need a word of encouragement, that need a friendly handshake, that need a blessing of some kind. Amen. When we go to the nursing homes and I speak without, there's an elderly man that came up, thinking it was the last one, Yeah, it was at the last one. He wasn't in there while we were singing. He come walking up after it was over, and I went and shook his hand, and I don't know if he was in his right mind or not. He didn't look like that he was registering a whole lot that was going on. He looked like he a regular member of the Island Ford Baptist Church on Sunday morning. But but I went up to shake his hand, and best I remember, he didn't even lift his hand. I patted him on the shoulder. I said, "God bless you, sir." And a thought come to me, I hope God does bless him. Because he needs one. No, but that old man, I ain't talking about Logan. He don't need nothing. But I'm kidding. But seriously, that old man needs a blessing. And you know what? He may never remember that, but there's a God in heaven who wrote it down. I didn't even have to tell you about it. God done wrote it down. Amen. Because there's people out there, and by the way, there's people in here that could use a blessing. And that's all you got to say, bless you. Have a blessed day. Amen. People say, I like that, by the way. Amen. I do like that. Have a blessed day. Encourage them in being blessed. So the point is we're supposed to be doing good. We have a duty. That's what he's telling us. We have a duty to do good, and we have an opportunity to do so. I don't have to turn to the verse or have you look at it. You could say this: to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. What is that? It's sin. To him that knoweth, but he don't do it. How about to him that has opportunity? He knows and he has opportunity, but he don't do it. We all fall there, don't we? You know what I'm saying? I'm warning us against weariness in well-doing. We want to reap, but we're not going to reap if we faint. We got to faint not so we can reap. So he says here we're to do that especially to a fellow believer. That's the idea. Paul said, I'm debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Romans chapter 1. Amen. Paul understood that he owed the gospel to the whole world. We don't just owe the whole world a blessing, especially those of the household of faith, he said. That's the point I'm making. Amen. Surely our duty to do good to our fellow man, especially our fellow believer, would include being friendly to them, speaking kindly about them, smiling at them, praying for them, helping them out in some way. Amen. When we have the opportunity to do so. We ought to be watching for opportunities. We ought to be prayerful about opportunities. Amen. Amen. Well, here's an interesting fact, and I'm ready to close her down. There's an interesting fact in these two verses. There's the word in verse number 9. Let me make sure I'm... Yeah, verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, that word season, is the Greek word Strong's 2540. Comes from the same word as in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity. Season and opportunity are the same Greek word. Now we think it's reaping season. No, God said, no, it's sowing season. You know what he's saying? You might not have the opportunity to reap today, but you've got an opportunity to sow. Amen. It's season for sowing. May not be season for reaping, but it's season for sowing. Opportunity. The point is, it's indicating that the reaping season is ahead, but the opportunity season is now. You see that? The reaping season may be ahead of us, but the sowing season is now. The opportunity is now. While we have a chance, let's do good to somebody. Amen. The warning about weariness in well-doing. I want to ask the question, have we perhaps grown weary? Perhaps we have. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 10 again. I was there earlier, and I'll end up here. Hebrews chapter 10. As soon as I finish reading this, I'll make some comments on it. I'll have them come with a song. Hebrews 10 and the latter verses, verse number 35. Verse number 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Amen. You know what he's saying? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. He said, as we have therefore opportunity, Let's just keep on doing good unto all men, especially to those of the household of faith. I'm going to ask them to come with a song. There is a propensity. Some of you have faced this week. Some of you have faced it many days, many times. Some of you are maybe facing it right now. My point is, the devil will do his best to make us weary in well-doing. Amen. You mothers that teach your kids in homeschool, you ever said, I just don't know if they're getting it or not. It just don't seem like this is doing any good. Well, you could ship them off to public school and let them be warped in that kind of thinking. And that certainly won't do good. Right? I tell you what is best to do. Best is to sow some good seeds. Let's stand to our feet. Yeah, let's stand to our feet. Sow some good seeds. Maybe you're teaching that class and you say, I just don't know if they're getting it. Amen. Maybe you're preaching. I just don't know if anybody's listening. Whatever it is you're doing, two or three things to think about. Who are you doing it for? Are you really doing it for Jesus? And if so, he's paying attention and he'll reward you. But there's also a contingency that we're doing it to help somebody else. And whether or not you see that, our job's not to watch the plant grow and watch the plant bloom and watch the plant blossom. Our job's just keep sowing seeds. Just keep sowing seeds. Leave that growing up to God. Leave that blooming and blossoming. Leave that up to God. Let's just keep sowing seeds while we have opportunity.